Hello and welcome to the second of our Lent reflections from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we continue our journey of using spiritual habits and practices to connect with God and seek his guidance, we turn our attention to the biblical practice of fasting. In the Bible, there are many examples of people fasting for a variety of different reasons. And we'll examine some of these reasons and consider how this practice and its motivations for fasting may impact our lives. Some motivations for fasting I will mention only briefly for reasons that should become apparent, whereas others we will delve into in more depth. We'll be using various different passages from the Bible as we use the different instances to help us understand more about this topic of fasting. So firstly, I'm going to read from 2 Samuel 1, and then it's verses 1 to 4, and then 11 to 12. After the death of Saul, David returned from striking down the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag for 2 days. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honour. "Where have you come from?" David asked him. He answered, "I have escaped from the Israelite camp." "What happened?" David asked. "Tell me." "The men fled from the battle," he replied. "Many of them fell and die, and Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the army of the Lord and for the nation of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. People often turn to fasting in their time of grief and distress. I'm only going to touch briefly on this aspect of fasting because I think it's more of a psychological response rather than a religious one. In 2 Samuel 1, David heard about the death of Saul and Jonathan, and immediately he and his men mourned, weeping and fasting till evening. This was a common practice and demonstrated their great sorrow that food was of no importance to them. This was a psychological response to a time of great pain and high emotion. I certainly know that grief often saps us of our hunger and there is little desire to feast. I think this is often why people respond to other people's grief by bringing food to ensure that they eat. Whether someone has a faith or not, people often find that they have little appetite in the face of grief, and they unintentionally fast as a way to express their pain. But if we read in Jonah 3, we can see that fasting as an expression of mourning can take on a more biblical expression. So Jonah 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So we see that in the Bible, fasting was used for mourning in a different way, in mourning our wrongdoing and praying for God's forgiveness. The connection between fasting and repentance is clear to see in the Bible. When the Ninevites were warned to change their wicked, rebellious ways, or God would overthrow Nineveh, the Ninevites responded by turning to God, repenting and fasting. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. The king of Nineveh was so concerned and repentant that he declared a fast not just for the people of the nation, but for the animals too. Fasting was used as a way to demonstrate the sincerity of their sorrow for the way that they had acted in rebellion to God. It also served as a way of humbling them, causing them to remember that everything they had, even the food in their bellies, had been provided by God. Do we ever fast because our need to repent compels us to fast? This can be on an individual or communal level. We can be convicted so much of our own personal sin that we feel the need to seek God's forgiveness with prayer and fasting. Or, as in the case of the Ninevites, this fasting and prayer can come through a communal need to repent and fast. Can you imagine what our world, country, communities, or churches would look like if we followed the example of the Ninevites in Jonah and collectively turned to God with fasting and repentance? We have all been saved by the amazing grace of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. But I think we all sometimes take it for granted that we are forgiven. And there are times we do not truly repent of the things we think or do or say that are in rebellion to God. Can we take time to truly repent and even fast as we seek God's forgiveness and mercy, his healing grace? As we look around at all the evil and pain in the world and in our communities, can we be praying a prayer of repentance and seeking God's forgiveness, demonstrating our sincerity by fasting? At this time, it feels more and more urgent that we turn back to God and repent of all the ways we have disobeyed him. Feels like we as a church should be calling the nation, if not the world, to a time of fasting, prayer, and repentance. How can we do this? Are we doing this? Fasting is not only a demonstration of mourning, it is also used to aid prayer, as people fast to seek answers to desperate prayers, seeking deliverance or protection or victory over the enemies. So I'm going to read from Ezra 8, verses 21 and 23. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for the soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road, because we had told the king, "The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, for his great anger is against all who forsake him." So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell the story of the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, along with the return of Jewish exiles to the land that God had promised them. And so in Ezra 8, we join the story as Ezra and a group of fellow Israelites made their journey to Jerusalem to resettle there after permission had been granted by the king of Persia. And so they reached the Ahava Canal, where they camped for 3 days before journeying onwards. And during these days, Ezra proclaimed a time of fasting and prayer. This is because the journey they were taking was fraught with potential danger. They were travelling with children, who were more vulnerable and more precious, and so the adults would have worried and fretted about their safety. And they were also travelling with all their possessions, which would have made them a highly tempting target for bandits and robbers. Thus, the Israelites were fearful for their safety and the safety of their families. So Ezra proclaimed a fast and petitioned God for help. I love both Ezra's honesty and his faith. In verse 22, he says, "I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from the enemies on the road, because we had told the king, 'The gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger is against all who forsake him.'" His faith is in God is plain by the fact that he calls everyone to look to the gracious hand of God for help. But he is also human, and so suffers from fear and doubt. He wanted to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect them, but he knew that would be to doubt God. So at this moment, when Ezra and the Israelites were facing potential threats and dangers, it's understandable that Ezra calls a fast. I think he does so for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's to demonstrate their sincerity, desperation, and trust in God to be their protector and provider. By fasting, they demonstrate that God is more important to them than their hunger, and also shows that they are serious in seeking his help. But I also think Ezra called a fast to strengthen the resolve and faith of the Israelites and himself. Doing something physical or active can be extremely useful for us when we are trying to commit to an inner resolution. Having an outward sign of an inner conviction can help strengthen and bolster us when we're wavering. Therefore, it was important for the Israelites to take part in the fast to be able to reassert their faith in God. The Israelites fasted and prayed for God's protection and deliverance. Their desire for God's aid in their situation was so strong that they prayed urgently instead of eating. How often do we desire God's intervention in something so strongly that we choose to forgo food for the sake of praying and petitioning God? Fasting for the sake of seeking God's help with something demonstrates our overwhelming commitment to and desperate need for God. It shows how much we are prepared to rely on God to act in a situation. And there are so many situations in the world where we desperately need God to act. How serious and focused are we about praying with that sense of total trust and commitment? Are there things we want to pray for that we would be willing to choose to sacrifice food for? How can we as a church unite to fast and pray for our world, for our country, and for the local issues that matter to us? At times, fasting can seem like an almost passive thing. We fast so that God responds. But fasting can also be used to prepare us for mission and ministry. Before he started his public ministry, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted for 40 days and nights. And I'm going to read from Luke 4 just to give us a recap of this. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And the temptations from Satan continue, if you want to read that in Luke 4. But Jesus went into the desert where he fasted, and this time was used to dedicate himself to God, to spend time dedicated to hearing from his Father and centering himself on following the plan God had laid out for him. So during this time, Satan attempted to pull Jesus away from following God. But Jesus remained faithful to his Father's instructions. Do we take time to fast and pray to hear from God and allow him to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we are ready for the work he has in store for us? In the Bible, fasting is shown to be a regular part of a person's spiritual life, something they did regularly to truly connect with and hear from God. and yet generally speaking, it seems that for many Christians, fasting is something we rarely consider. Is fasting something you could build into your spiritual routines and patterns so that you continue to prepare yourself to hear from God? Now, I know not everyone is capable or advised to do a full fast, but every single one of us fasts each day when we eat our last thing in the evening and then we break our fast with breakfast the next day. Perhaps we could use that time between our last bite of food on one day and the first bite the next to prepare ourselves to hear from God. Perhaps delaying breakfast for half an hour or getting up slightly earlier to meet with God and ask Him to focus ourselves on Him. The link between fasting and working out God's purposes is made clear. If we read Isaiah 58, 6 and verses 6 to 9, there is such a strong link between fasting and acts of God, of pursuing God's kingdom. So Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 9. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and He will say, "Here I am." Isaiah reminds us that fasting from food on its own is not a true fast. A true fast comes by doing the work of God in the places we live. God uses our prayer and fasting to equip us to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to share our food with the hungry, to provide shelter for the poor. Fasting empties us of the distraction of food so that we can focus on allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us with His power and His purpose. If we are truly committed to fasting, there is often a visible result in which it's noticeable that the Holy Spirit has moved powerfully. Whose chains do you want to see loosened? Whose mouths do we want to feed? Who do we want to shelter and provide clothes for? Who are we willing to fast and hunger for so that the God's kingdom can be seen in the world around us? God wants us to be ready for Him, to use us for His purposes. Are we willing to give Him the time and space to equip us with all that we need to accomplish His purposes? We may not be able to help on a global scale, but we all have an ability to help with those close to home. And it may not even be practical or financial support. God may be preparing you to be used to speak with someone, to bring peace or hope or comfort. Are you prepared to seek God's purposes for you by fasting and praying and giving Him your time? So let's close with those words in Isaiah. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Amen.